Great, Trevor. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Just to start off, you know, the company had another strong quarter. Leading indicators are positive with infrastructure orders up 24%. I think that's a really good sign. Strength was broad-based with expansion in many of our end-use markets. Our global growth was especially strong. There remains a few sources of volatility, but they are well known. It's, you know, housing in the U.S. and the impact on appliances, the U.S. wind market, and a slow European economy. Earnings growth continues to rebound with operating EPS up 17%. Growth was pretty broad-based, including aviation, healthcare, transportation, oil and gas, and capital. In fact, capital continues to be very strong. Our earnings were up substantially. The only drag was energy, which should improve in the second half of 11. Our balance sheet was very strong with $91 billion of cash and a Tier 1 common ratio of 10.4%. Lastly, we continue to make progress on our capital allocation plan with a big step in the third quarter as we retire the Berkshire Preferred. In addition, we will likely close the Convertim acquisition in the quarter. So, you know, we're executing well, and we feel good about the quarter. You know, orders were a real highlight. They were very strong, a big highlight, growing 24% with real strength in every segment. This actually comes off a good quarter in second quarter of 10, when orders also grew by 8%. Organic orders growth was 17%, and energy orders were particularly strong. We had some big wins, Renova in Brazil, Wheatstone in Australia, and others. We recorded $27 billion of commitments at the Paris Air Show, most of which will turn into orders in subsequent periods. Our healthcare orders in growth regions expanded by more than 20%. Transportation had outstanding global wins in mining. And we ended the quarter with a record high backlog of $189 billion. Now, we've made investments in growth over the past couple of years, and they're paying off. We're seeing a great response to John Rice's leadership of our global growth organization. Global orders grew by 23%, with growth markets up 21%. Every business had double-digit growth. Highlights included China up 32%, India up 91%, Australia up 35%, Latin America up 45%, Russia up 23%, Africa plus 35%, and ASEAN up 22%. So global markets industrially remain a source of strength for GE. Services remain strong, with revenue growth up 14%. And we're seeing good growth across all the businesses, and CSA backlog is at an all-time high at $139 billion. New product launches are working. The LeapX is now a great success, with the Boeing 737 re-engine partnership an important strategic step. We're seeing broad customer interest in the new gas turbine Flex 50, which offers both record-high efficiency and grid flexibility. Our 1.6-megawatt wind turbine is gaining share in North America, and we have a broad array of product launches in healthcare. And between now and year-end 12, we'll have a major launch in every appliance product. So based on this, we think our organic growth rate should accelerate in 2011 and 2012. Our cash remains on track. We remain on track to generate $12 to $13 billion of CFOA for the year. Working capital has grown by about $2 billion year-to-date to support our second half 11 equipment backlog. This will reduce by at least $1 billion as we end the year. As I said earlier, we ended the quarter with a record $91 billion of cash, and as I mentioned earlier, we plan to retire the Berkshire Preferred shares by the end of the third quarter. We remain committed to attractive dividend growth and reducing our share count over time. Now, margins declined in the quarter. The decline was primarily in energy and really driven by significantly lower margins in the wind market. Also contributing to lower margins were heavier R&D spending and acquisitions. We expect margins to improve in the second half of 2011. And going forward, we'll be managing through several factors. Wind margins have declined substantially between 2010 and 2011, but will stabilize. We expect deflation and lower material costs to continue throughout 2011. We expect R&D investments as a percentage of revenue to be flat to lower in 2012 versus 2011. Service margin growth will continue. Acquisition integration is trending ahead of plan. Energy equipment orders pricing should improve by the end of next year. So if I compare where we are today versus our December framework for 2011, we expect industrial revenue to be higher. We expect margins to be slightly lower. And our expectation of industrial profit growth in 2011 is unchanged. Finally, we expect margins to expand in 2012 versus 2011. So with that, let me turn it over to Keith, who's going to give us an update on financial performance.
Jeff, thanks a lot. I'm going to start with the second quarter summary. We had continuing operations revenue of
$35.6 billion, which was down 4%. But as you can see from the notes on the bottom of the page, we were impacted by not having any consolidation of the NBC revenues. Excluding the impact of NBC, GE revenues were up 7%. Industrial sales of $23 billion were down 6%. Obviously, that was also impacted by NBC. And I think the best way to think about industrial revenue is to look over on the right side on the segment revenues. Industrial segment revenues of $23 billion were up 10%, and that doesn't have any impact from the sale of NBC. Financial service revenues of $12.4 billion were down 1%. Operating earnings of $3.7 billion were up 18%, and we delivered 34 cents a share of operating EPS, up 17%. Jeff covered the cash flow of $4.4 billion. That was also impacted by NBC, but we're on track for our total year outlook. For tax rates, the tax rates in the second quarter were in line with the framework that we outlined in the first quarter. The second quarter year-to-date rate, you can see, was 41%, driven by the NBCU gain in the first quarter. If you look at the second quarter, the GE rate of 21% was consistent with our expectations that we laid out in that first quarter call. We continue to expect a GE tax rate for 2011, excluding the NBCU gain, generally consistent with the second quarter rate. For GE Capital, the tax rate of 18% for the second quarter was consistent with the expectation of a high teens rate for the year, up from 2010 as pre-tax continues to improve in financial services. On the right side, you can see the segment results. Industrial revenues were up 10%. Segment profit was down 3%, driven by energy. I'm going to cover the details of each of these businesses in a few pages. And for GE Capital, segment profit doubled in the quarter, leading to the overall segment profit up 18%. Before I get to the businesses, I'll just start with the other items page. On the positive side, we resolved some commercial items, and we had a 1 cent after-tax benefit, and we recorded that at corporate. Offsetting that, we also had 1 cent after-tax or restructuring and other charges, mostly related to the energy acquisitions, so legal and deal fees and other non-repeat items from purchase accounting were also recorded at corporate. We also had two transactions recorded in discontinued operations in the quarter. We closed the exit of our Singapore consumer book in April. That resulted in a $300 million gain, and that was partially offset by a $100 million loss on the disposition of our Australia and New Zealand mortgage book. The net was a 2 cent after-tax benefit in discontinued operations and $7 billion overall, a reduction in investment. So overall, not much activity in continuing ops in Q2 and other items. I'm going to start on the businesses with GE Capital. The good news here is GE Capital continues to improve. We've gone from having many pages over the last several quarters to cover GE Capital down to one page today. The additional information is all in the supplemental charts that we posted this morning, so we've just tried to consolidate this, but all the data that we've been giving is in the supplements. For the quarter, revenue of $11.6 billion was down 1%, and that's in line with our ending net investment being down 2%. You can see the pre-tax earnings were up three times over last year. Net income of $1.655 billion was up two times over last year. That's driven by lower credit costs, lower impairments, partially offset by the lower assets. You can see our Tier 1 common ratio went up to 10.4%, and our leverage was down a full point year over year. On the right side, our asset quality metrics continue to improve. 30-day delinquencies were down everywhere except mortgage. That's up slightly, mostly because of the declining asset base. Total mortgages were down $6 billion, ex the impact of foreign exchange from the beginning of the year, so we continue to run off that book. Down in the bottom right, in terms of dynamics, we had a very strong volume quarter. Margins were strong at 5.3%. Our non-earnings and losses were better. Reserve coverage remained strong. And I'll just cover a couple highlights from the businesses on the left side. First is consumer. Our consumer business had another very strong quarter. We ended Q2 with $146 billion of assets. That was up 3%. Net income of a little over $1 billion was up 57%, driven by lower credit losses. The U.S. retail finance business had a great quarter. They earned $588 million, up 51%. That's driven by lower loss provisions as our delinquencies improved by over 100 basis points. And the retail business in the U.S. had a good volume quarter. The volume was up 8%. Global banking earned $310 million, up 17%. That was driven by lower credit losses, partially offset by the loss of the guarantee income in Turkey. And U.K. home lending earned $44 million in the quarter. It's the seventh consecutive quarter of positive earnings. Our U.K. home lending assets declined $1.7 billion year over year, and we realized 115% again on the mortgages that we liquidated in the second quarter above the marks that we'd taken on valuation. For commercial real estate, we're still facing losses, but we are seeing signs of stabilization. We lost $335 million in the quarter, but that was $190 million better than last year and $23 million better than Q1. In Q2, we had $92 million of credit losses and $339 million of marks and impairments. And during the quarter, we sold 129 properties for $1.6 billion with $26 million of gains. Our assets are down 17% year-over-year, excluding the impact of the weak dollar, and they're down 5% from the first quarter. We are seeing signs of increased liquidity. If you look at the sales of quality properties, we're seeing stabilizing rents and occupancy on average in the portfolio is up. Our unrealized loss at the end of the year was $5.1 billion. It's down to $4.1 billion at the end of the second quarter. So slight improvements, but we're all still focused on returning this business to profitability. Commercial lending and leasing also had another strong quarter. Earnings of $701 million. They were up 124% from last year. Those results were also driven by lower losses and impairments. CLL had a good volume quarter. They did $10.8 billion of volume. It was up 33%. America's net income was up $260 million, and Europe's net income was up $40 million. GECAS had another strong quarter, earnings of $321 million, up 11%. The team funded $1.9 billion of volume with strong margins, and we ended the quarter with two aircraft on the ground, both in the process of being redeployed. Energy Financial Services also had a good quarter, earnings of $139 million, up 10%, driven by lower marks and credit costs. So overall in G Capital, a very strong quarter. Next is Energy. Energy had a mixed set of results in the second quarter. The second quarter is going to be the toughest quarter we see in Energy, and I'm going to show you more details about that on the next page, but first I'll go through the two businesses. For Q2, on the positive side, we're seeing great orders growth. Orders of $9.9 billion in energy were up 24%, 16% ex-acquisitions. Equipment orders of $5 billion were up 42%, and 29% ex-acquisitions. Main drivers were wind and aero derivatives. We had orders for 667 wind turbines versus 248 in Q2 10. We had orders for 41 aero derivative units versus 16 units last year. Partial offset was thermal. We had orders for 41 gas turbines versus 42 last year. But last year included the large Iraq deal. We had 25 9Es in one quarter in one order. Overall orders price for energy was down 2.5%. That was driven by wind order pricing down 7% and thermal order pricing down 10% in the second quarter. Service orders of $4.9 billion were up 10%, and revenues of $8.1 billion were up 1%. That's driven by the acquisitions partially offsetting all the lower volume. Thermal revenues of $2.0 billion were down 12%, and that was principally driven by five fewer steam turbines. And wind revenues of $630 million were down 46% in the quarter. We shipped 269 wind units in the quarter versus 511 last year. Service revenues of $4.4 billion were up 8%, ex the acquisitions, driven by power gen services up 7%. And segment profit of $1.3 billion. It's down 24%, and it's driven by the lower wind volume and the lower wind pricing. Explains almost all the variance. Next is oil and gas. This business is experiencing tremendous growth. We're getting growth organically. We're getting growth from our recent acquisitions, and we had a little bit of a benefit from the weaker dollar in the revenue line. Orders of $2.9 billion were up 45%. 19 points of that growth came from the deals Wellstream and Wood Group, and we also had 9 points of translation from FX, so 17% order growth organically for the oil and gas business. Equipment orders of $1.8 billion were up 41%. We had strong growth in turbo machinery from a large LNG order in Australia. Service orders of $1.1 billion were up 52%, driven by upgrades in places like Qatar and Canada. And total oil and gas orders price was positive. It was up 2.1% in the quarter. Revenues of $2.5 billion were up 39%, and there's a similar impact from exchange and deals as there was with orders, so you end up about 10% organic revenue growth. Segment profit of $333 million was up 14%. We had benefits from the higher volume. We had benefits from the acquisitions, and we had benefits as we had material deflation in the business that was partially offset by lower pricing and some negative impact of the foreign exchange. As I said, this is the toughest quarter of the year for energy infrastructure. And as we also said at EPG, we're going to be growing in the second half in energy. So let's go to the next page and look at the framework for the first half, second half for energy. I think it's important to look at the energy results in more detail to see the dynamics of what's been a drag in the first half of the year and how we see the improvements coming in the second half. So what we put here, the top half of this chart shows the energy infrastructure op profit. It compares the first and second halves of 2010 and 2011. And on the left side, you can see our op profit of $2.9 billion was down 14% in the first half. On the right side, you can see we expect the op profit to be higher in the second half versus last year's second half. So we're going to get growth in the second half. And the main driver for this performance is going to be volume. And what we did, we put the unit numbers for GE Energy alone on the box on the bottom of the page. So if you look at the left side, you can see the volume declines that this business has had to deal with in the first half of the year. Wind turbines were down 26%, gas turbines were down 11%, steam turbines were down 59%, and aero was down 14%. And on the right side, you can see how dramatically those dynamics change in the second half. Wind turbines will be up 16%, gas turbines will be up 33%, steam turbines will be up 80%, and aero will be up 23%. So overall, this volume is going to be up a little more than 17% in the second half. And 90% of the equipment that we're showing here is already in firm orders in the backlog. So what does this mean for margins? Jeff showed you the pressure we had in the first half. If you look at the top on the left side in the middle, you can see the first half margins were down 3.8 points. That was driven by the wind volume and the pricing that I mentioned. And on the right side, with all this additional volume, we expect margins to be better than the first half, but still lower than last year's second half when we were up over 20%. So, you know, to wrap this up, we had a tough first half in energy. The second quarter is the low point for the business. And with the strong volume profile that we've got and the benefit of the acquisitions, we expect to resume growth in the second half and beyond. Let me move on. Next is aviation. The aviation market remained strong in the quarter. Orders of $5.3 billion were up 37%. Our commercial engine orders of $1.6 billion were up 78%. That was driven by GE90 and CFM. Military engine orders of $389 million were up 87%. And Jeff mentioned the success the team had with $27 billion of wins at the Paris Air Show. None of those announced wins are in these orders. Those wins will turn into orders when we get purchase orders from the airframers, usually 12 to 24 months before delivery. So this industry's got a very strong equipment outlook. Equipment orders price was up 1.6%. And we ended the quarter with a backlog of $20.9 billion, up 9% versus last year. Service orders of $2.7 billion were up 14%, driven by strong spares. The commercial spare parts orders were 23.9 million per day, which was up 18%. And that was partially offset by military services, which were down 10%. We had revenue of $4.7 billion, was up 11%, driven by equipment, up 2%, and services, very strong, up 21%. We only shipped 4 Gen X engines in the quarter, and that volume will ramp up in the second half as both the 787 and the 747 will be certified before the end of the year. And segment profit of $959 million was up 9%, driven by volume and services, partially offset by higher investments in R&D and engine programs. On the right side is transportation. Transportation business had another strong quarter in Q2. Orders of $1.4 billion were up 19%. Equipment orders of $835 million were up 5%. Service orders of $534 million were up 50%. And the equipment backlog closed at $4.2 billion, up 26% over last year. Revenues of $1.2 billion were up 74%, driven by higher volume. We shipped 40% more locomotives to our U.S. customers and almost 5 times more international locomotives, driving those equipment revenues up 72%. Service revenues were up 76% on strong parts sales and higher customized service agreement revenue. So segment profit here was also very strong, $178 million, up 7 times over last year, driven by that higher volume and the continued improvement we see in services. Flip to the next page is healthcare. Healthcare team delivered another quarter of positive growth with continued reinvestment. Orders of $4.7 billion were up 9%. Equipment orders of $2.6 million were also up 9%, with DI up 6% and clinical systems up 14%. The U.S. equipment was up 7%, and non-U.S. was up 10%. Some of the growth globally, China was up 25%, India was up 15%, Latin America was up 34%, and the pressure point was Europe. Europe was down 3%, but down 14%, ex the impact of the weak U.S. dollar, so that gave us some pressure in the quarter. Service orders were up 10%. and total orders price was down 1.3% for the business. We ended the quarter with equipment backlog of $4 billion, up 8% over last year's amount. Revenue of $4.5 billion was up 10%. That was driven by both equipment and service, both about that level. And just by product line, it's pretty broad-based. Ultrasound was up 12%, clinical devices were up 20%, CT was up 11%, MR was up 7%, life sciences were up 7%, X-ray was flat, and services were up 9%. So segment profit of $711 million was up 8%, driven by higher volume and productivity, partially offset by the negative price and $44 million of higher investments in new products. And on the right side, Home and Business Solutions had a challenging quarter. Revenues of $2.2 billion were down 4%, and segment profit was down 26%. In Intelligent Platforms, revenue was up 19%. They had a good quarter. Lighting revenue was up 7%, and appliances were down 12%. So overall here, the results in this segment were driven by appliances. The domestic market in the quarter was down 10% in units. We also saw material inflation. And some of the tough comparisons versus last year were driven by the non-repeat of the government incentive programs we had last year in the first half. There were incentives to replace your appliances with more energy-efficient products. And we're also continuing to do a lot of investment here in the new product line. New product programs were up $20 million in the quarter. So with that, that's a run through the businesses. Let me turn it back to Jeff.
Great, Keith. Thanks. You know, going back to the 2011 operating framework, you know, the framework remains intact and highly achievable. We expect to see positive earnings growth in our industrial businesses. Revenue growth in the second half should be very strong. As Keith said earlier, energy infrastructure earnings will grow in the second half. Capital earnings will continue to grow with higher margins, lower losses, and real estate firming. Our expectations for corporate for the year are unchanged. So we're going to see solid double-digit operating earnings growth for the year, and we're confident in our total year framework for both earnings and CFOA. So, again, we feel great about the 2011 operating framework. We think it's highly achievable. And lastly, you know, just the earnings growth outlook as we think about the remainder of this year and into the future in 2012, I think the outlook remains very strong. I reviewed this with you at EPG. We see momentum building for 2012. We see the key factors around GE Capital continuing to improve. Our balance sheet strength and liquidity remain high. On the industrial side, you know, healthcare and transportation earnings should continue to grow. And I think we should have solid growth in aviation and energy next year. I think a couple ways to reflect, you know, the American order in aviation really signals the return to equipment purchases of the U.S. airlines, and I think that's very significant. And I point out the energy orders V of almost 40% in the quarter, that's largely with the U.S. still not participating. And so I actually think we're at the beginning of a very positive energy and aviation cycle and when I look at how our businesses are positioned. And we'll also have a full year of acquisition impact in energy. Our margins should improve in 2012. So in 2012, we should have both solid organic growth and expanding margins. And finally, we'll retire the preferred shares, which will provide an EPS lift for 2012. So, look, we like our portfolio. We like the GE outlook. And, Trevor, with that, I'll turn it back to you.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Keith. Chanel, I think we're ready to open up the lines and head over to questions.